you tonight. I hope you all had fun. I hope you all learned something. I hope you'll continue to learn things. I just want to remind people that if you need to contact me for mailbag questions, topics that you'd like to hear discussed or discuss yourself, or puzzles, or if you want me to tap Paul on the shoulder, the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. The link page is available. You can see all kinds of interesting articles. Every week I gather together a bunch of interesting things that I read and put links to it so that you can enjoy it as well. You can reach it by typing into your browser roy.ac2gs.com. The audio stream remains on 24/7 as much as possible. I have to occasionally reboot the computer, but if you want to listen to Glen Oaks and you don't have your radio nearby, you can type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com and that'll give you a stream. And I want to remind people of Mike, AC2NJI's wonderful archive site, amateurradio.tv, where he has archives of this technical net going as far back as September of 2006, so avail yourself of it. I want to thank you all once again. I want to wish you well. Stay safe. Dick used to end most of his technical nets by the good advice to be kind to each other. That's good advice in general and great advice now. So do be kind to each other. We're all in this together, one way or the other. Be safe, be smart, and also remember to come back next Sunday when we're going to try and do this all over again. So with that in mind, I call this session of Mother's Day, and a shame we didn't have any mothers presenting any questions or answers. That's one of the sad things about this hobby, unfortunately. We can't entice too many women into it, but we treasure the ones that we can. Have a great week. Be well. We close this edition, this Mother's Day edition of the Limark Technical Net, and I am clear.
Roy, not sure if LinkedIn, I'm sorry, if echoing timed out or whether you're done talking, WB2BX.
Well, let me see. Yeah, it works again, I think. Are you hearing me now? There's a problem with EchoLink. It times out and it drops the audio feed.
Yeah, and you're back up. Sometimes keying EchoLink clears the problem. Anyway, just curious if you have a few moments. Maybe we can discuss it last week. I wonder how well one of those inexpensive CB ground planes would work on, say, 10 and 12 meters without any real adjustment. Seems now that the sunspot cycle is coming up, that might be a very inexpensive and practical way for some guys to get on the band. So go ahead.
Yeah, I you know, it's better something than nothing. So, yeah, a lot of people, if you talk to them, they have antennas that are sort of 11 meters as well. I use a Serio, it's an Italian manufacturer, it's a 5/8 wave. It's designed for 10 meters, but surprise, surprise, you can adjust the final element. You can slide it up and down and adjust it to work on 11 meters. So there's a lot of 10-meter antennas that are not really locked down for 10. Because, you know, there's some degree of commercial business with 11-meter selling for CB and such. So, yeah, I would say go for it. So the big thing is not really going to be that much takeoff angle and such. It's going to be the propagation and the ionosphere.
Yeah, I would expect the takeoff angle isn't as critical as, say, on 40 meters. Where it seems to make a big difference. Have you tried the antenna on 12 meters?
I think I did. It doesn't really tune very well.
Yeah, okay. 12 meters is a kind of tuned, cool band. I think it behaves a little more like 15 meters than 10 meters, but has less competition. I wonder if Alan is still here. I haven't spoken to him in years. And to KWW, WB2BXO, if he's still here. All right, I guess he went to bed. It is kind of late for those of us who still have real jobs. Yeah, as I said, I'm retired. I still do some freelance work, but kind of set my own hours. Anyway, go ahead, Roy. I guess you probably have to get going.
Yeah, one of these days I have to. I mean, I'm reminded of the good old days when the repeater was on all night, and John, who apparently didn't sleep well at night, would stay up most of the night chatting to Wesley and occasionally to Dick. Those guys could go strong into 5:30 or so in the morning. I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, I mean, I used to hold court with some of the guys on the Mayork 396 machine till all hours of the night when I was a kid. That's not something I do anymore, although my wife says I still stay up too late. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, these guys, they were no spring chickens. I mean, love the ball. John and Dick were in their mid-70s, and I often joked with them, saying that you guys never sleep. I hear you all night long. Occasionally, it kind of taught me a lesson not to listen and try and get to sleep. But occasionally, Wesley would come on, and he'd read an email I sent him, and him and John would sort of Talmudically try and figure out the subtext in it. It's very difficult to fall asleep when in the background there's a couple of guys talking about you.
November 2, Susan Schiller.
Yes, John.
See, you never know who's listening, Roy.
Yes, indeed. John, N2 Zulu Charlie, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, just a quick question, and I know it's a long shot. Moving to Florida now, I'm using the Echolink, and one big problem I'm having is that Echolink will not let you transmit when somebody else is. Well, that shouldn't be a problem. What it is it seems to be this delay of when somebody's transmitting until it finally drops in the echo link. And by that time, somebody else will have repeated. In other words, so you have, at least I'm having this problem of zero chance of in between a QSO or question and answer to throw your call sign out there to be recognized. And I've played over the controls. I don't know if there's a, you know, a timeout or something. I'm just taking a long shot if anybody has any experience with.
Okay, I'll give Frank an opportunity to put in his two cents, but before that, it's part of the problems of Echolink. There is no solution that I have found. People are quick keying on repeaters, and it screws up everyone on Echolink. I mean, about 6-7 weeks ago, the repeater lost its sensitivity for some reason, and I couldn't get into it. And so the only way that I could do was some part of the technical net was through Echolink, but people on the tech net wouldn't let go of the push-to-talk button long enough for me to signal. So I was yelling in the chat room. I was yelling all over the place. And finally, people quieted down. I was able to kind of get them to pause a little bit before they hit that push-to-talk. But it's just, the big problem is everyone doesn't think of Echolink. They quick key, and they don't understand. It's not that they don't care. It's that they don't think about it, unfortunately.
Okay, fair enough. And thank you. Thank you for that answer. Because at least then I know if there's nothing really I can do with it, that I got to live within the constraints. So you answered the question. Thank you.
I mean, what I would suggest, if you want to, you know, there's a text field at the bottom of most applications for Echolink. And so sometimes, this occasionally happens when Frank is trying to get in a question and it's just impossible. He leaves me a little message that he's trying to do it, and I break in to say Paul and remind him to keep his finger off the push to talk long enough to have the EchoLink recycle. So, you know, if you need to break in and just people are quick keying, flash me a message in the text field, and if I'm able to see it, I'll do something.
Thank you, Roy, and thanks again for just running with that. It's always a pleasure.
You're welcome, John. It's a nice experience. There are lots of people out there, and they're kind and helpful, and I learn things, and I hope they learn things, and I just hope it's a rewarding experience for everyone.
I got to tell you, it's been, and it always is stimulating, and I don't want to hold you tonight. If you got a minute, you can answer. If not, I'll catch you next week. But just quickly, you guys were talking about transformers, and I always understood the step up, the step down transformer, and the ratio of the coils, no problem. But again, these conversations stimulate thought, and I was thinking of the Ballon and the impedance matching transformer, and I just can't get my head around now how it steps up or steps down impedance. And my immediate thought was, well, okay, as you just using Ohm's law, as you increase or it's increasing or decreasing the voltage, let's say, which would increase or decrease the current, which would increase or decrease the resistance. But it seems that when you step up or step down the voltage, that the power stays the same, so I would imagine the resistance stays the same. So I'm going to have to talk with you guys to get my head around that, how we are actually stepping up or stepping down impedance.
2KW.
Ah, hello, Alan. Frank, WB2BXO wanted to say hello earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed him. I remember Frank. Very good. I want you to address that impedance question.
Okay, I think we'll put that on the docket for next Sunday. My brain is half fried already. There's only so many hours I can do this. I was remarking on Dick would chat about technology up until 5:30 in the morning, and I don't have the faintest idea how he could do it. The latest I stayed up, when John and Dick passed away, I did this wake on the radio type of thing. So I stayed up until, I don't know, 4:30 or something, and geez, I was brain dead for about a week.
Okay, well, you aren't time warp. We'll save it for next time.
Yeah, Frank is still on EchoLink, so Frank, if you're out there and you want to say hello to Alan before the repeater shuts off, feel free.
Okay, and of course I have to wait for EchoLink to drop so he can hear me. How are you, Alan? I don't know how long you want to stay in here. I think except for an occasional contest, and I think the 160 contest or one of those, I don't think I've spoken to you in a number of years. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's been quite a while, Frank. I think the last time I saw you was at field day at Fort Bennett Field. I do my 160 contests every year from K1TTT. You always find me on that band for the ARRL 160, for the Perry, and for the CQ Worldwide. I do all three of them.
Yeah, that's a hoot. I just get on mainly to look for new countries because I'm usually, in fact, just always using one of the remote sites. I think in one of the 160 contests, I worked you from one of the main remote sites. I figured I'd get on from there and give you the section. Maybe I was on from Connecticut for another one. But anyway, usually just get on for a couple of minutes from one of those sites to see if I can pick off a new country. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, okay. Well, I'd probably hear you from Brooklyn if you loaded up your bed spring. I do my 160 from Mass. Not very far. But anyway, thank you for the point. And nice to say hello. It'd be nice to have an eyeball someday, but I think this field day I'm going to go to Houston's Neck, over.
I live in Northeast Philadelphia now. I do come to New York every couple of weeks, but probably do field day for a couple of hours with the Holmesburg Amateur Radio Club near here. I think we do. Oh yeah, we use the old Franklin Institute call K3FI. I'll probably be operating from there for a couple of hours on the field day Saturday. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll get to work here. I like to operate CW, and I like to operate low frequencies. I like to operate hours of darkness, and I like to fish. And what a treat to have access to Eaton Neck. Good, good place to fish.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what you were talking about, and then I realized you meant real fishing. Anyway, Roy, if you're still here, I don't want to keep you out of this, so I guess...
No, it's okay, Frank. I kind of talked myself out tonight.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I thought you were clearing, but I didn't really want to, so I didn't want to kind of monopolize that, even though I know we're out of control, the net mode, so to speak. Yeah, anyway, Alan, I always remember your story when you, I don't know if you still do that, I remember you telling me a couple of years ago when you didn't have a station that you used to drive to Canarsie Pier when you saw a DX spot on 10 meters to pick off new countries that way from the water's edge.
I ended up identifying several favorable spots for the mobile. I did real well from the Bayside Marina. I worked the zone 23 on 10 meters from the Bayside Marina from the mobile. That was pretty good. But Toys R Us in Douglaston, the upper parking lot, they put in a steel deck before they paved it. So that's a terrific mobile spot. I worked Bouvet from there. They were very loud.
You mean you didn't go with them? You stayed home and worked? Yeah, and no, I think you told me you don't really do the expeditions anymore. Yeah. I'm looking forward to hoping I can catch that one. I remember when it was on 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I remember first of all, I had my rather poor station in Brooklyn, and second of all, I think I was traveling for my job at the time, so I missed them, but hopefully I'll catch them one way or other this time around. But yeah, I've been annoyed the last few mornings. Heard Indonesia on 15 and 17 meters at least every other morning for the last week or so, and they've sometimes pulled out, and on 17 the other morning, one of the guys pulled out part of my call sign and didn't get the rest of it. They don't seem to hear well, hear the stateside stations very well at that hour. I guess they have too much noise in the evening. And then today, it was a guy, YB0AZ, in Jakarta, was on 15, and I think he said the WB2 go ahead at one point, and then I got covered up. Anyway, I try to get on every morning. I'll eventually catch up with that one, but that seems to be tough to work for some reason.
Okay, well, I didn't know 15 was that good. Are they coming in over the South Pole?
sure, because the station I'm using has an off-center fed dipole, so I don't, I couldn't tell you for sure the path. I'm assuming it's, could be able to South Pole at this, well, let's see. I didn't really look at what the gray line looked like. I'm thinking it's over the North Pole at this time of year, but I could be wrong. The South Pole sort of makes more sense. So go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have that low an angle of radiation. I wouldn't hear the Bravo on any band. Maybe on 10 when kind of gets there. I don't know. I'm really aiming my operation in Bayside here at 30 and 12. 30 for hours of darkness and 12 for hours of daylight because I'm restricted to the attic. I don't think I'm going to be running up against beams in kilowatts on those bands, over.
Yeah, I love 30. That seems to rock at all hours of the day and night. I can get on, and I will when I get off here for a few minutes after 11 on weeknights when most of the East Coast stations shut down and try to pick off something on 30 meters with less competition. Even 12 meters, surprisingly enough, at least with, well, you get some propagation at this hour, oddly enough. Not real DX, I guess, but I'm surprised at the number of times I've worked into Trinidad and Tobago and into Brazil at that hour. North-south over the water path. They get some weird propagation sometimes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Trans-equatorial, well after dark. And you'd be surprised. You might hear Fox Oscar or King Hotel 6. It's not good enough for Victor Kilo yet, but it will be. I have great expectations of 12 meters. I got to tell you a story, though. Hold on one second. Let me let it drop. One of the great memorable experiences of radio goes back to, like, 1980 or something. 20 meters was just QRM wall-to-wall, open to everywhere, all points of the globe. Africa, Europe, Pacific. It was nighttime. And it was just bad. So I went to 15. I had a nice contact with XT2AW Stroke Mobile on his way to work. Spoke to him for about 40 minutes on phone. Let me let it drop. And then after we signed, I have this contrarian. I wonder if 10 is open. And I turned on 10 meters, and I could hear sky noise. The band was open, but there were no signals. Tuned everywhere. Band was open, but there were no... And then I heard a signal. 73, CW, 73, QSL via Bureau. Then I hear the other station, 73, QSL via Bureau. So I know one of them's got to be DX. I dump in my call twice. Where is that? I dump in my call again. Mind you, this is 3 o'clock in the morning. Let me let it drop. Victor Queen 9 Kilo. Where do you have your antenna pointed? I said California. Said me too. 10 meter long path. 3 a.m. You know we had some sunspots then, right?
Yeah, I remember. You remember the lousy dipoles I had in Brooklyn. I remember reacturing with a ZL at 2 in the morning during the sunspot peak. Yeah, that was a good peak. I don't know if this one will be as... contradictory predictions about this one. It looks like it's going to be somewhere in the middle of the consensus prediction and the Macintosh prediction. That's the last thing I heard. And even something in the middle would be certainly better than the last one, I think. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the most accurate prediction will be the one after it's all over. And then they'll claim that they knew it all along. I'll just enjoy it while it's here, but I've done enough on the contest bands, and I've done enough on 10 meters. This time around, I'm concentrating on 12 and 30, over.
Yeah, I'm up to 96 confirmed in LOCW on 10 megahertz. That's entirely using a remote site I can get on for a couple of minutes a day. And 12 meters I just started on. I had some from my old Brooklyn station there. I'm up to, I think, 50 on 12 meters. And I still need a few on 10. I need to finish 10 and 80 for 5-band BXCC. So, I don't know. I hoped I would finish 80 last winter, but didn't anyway. That'll be kind of a hoot to get 5-band BXCC. Go ahead.
Well, boys, as Mick Jagger said, come now, gentlemen. Your love is all I crave. You'll still be in the circus when I'm laughing in my grave. You're still chasing BXCC. I gave up on it. 1991, I made number one honor roll. Phone, CW mixed. 1991, got the plaque, number one honor roll. And you know what it felt like, Frank? It felt like a great weight had been lifted from my shoulders. And I promptly announced to anybody that would listen that I was done with the postal aspects of our hobby. Now I enjoy contesting. I don't feed my DXCC. I probably need 30 entities, and I swear half of them used to be Yugoslavia, over.
Yeah, I know. I can't figure out what's going on with that one. There's still some YUs, and then there a bunch of those. But yeah, if you haven't done real DX since 1991, you may be right. I wasn't really on at all for a few years, and I found I could get on through some, through some remotes and not have to mess around with trying to do an apartment station. I don't know. I'd like to make it to 300. I don't know if I ever will. I actually think in this sunspot peak I might, if I'm very strategic about it. But right now, just trying to roll up all 5 bands, maybe all 9 bands, I think would be kind of fun to do. If I ever get a real station again, or ever feel motivated enough to figure out a way to set up a real station, I'll get on and rank you. Okay.
Well, I think it's pretty easy to put out a signal on 1 band. Kind of hard to put out a signal on all bands or a competitive signal on all bands, but it's pretty easy to hang a half square for 20 meters or 17 meters. Very respectable to get Santana. Work the world with a pebble ball, 100 watts, lever. I don't like remote band radio. It feels like a repeater to me. I don't like repeaters all that much, even though I'm talking on one. I still like my HF. I came in sixth place in the United States in the ARRL 10 meter contest. Using a dipole antenna taped to the ceiling in my second floor co-op. Over.
Yeah, that's really good. I know it's possible because I think it was in 1998. Don't hold me to it if you look it up, but it was either 96 or 98. I think it was 98, but I could be mistaken. I did the 10-meter contest from my place in Brooklyn with 100 watts and dipole. And there was, like, no propagation. And it sounded like all the NLI section guys gave up around 5 o'clock at sunset. And suddenly there was an E opening, and I stayed on for the last 2 hours and did about 120 contacts, 90 an hour rate. And to my shock and surprise, I got a certificate for winning the section.
Well done, Frank. Well done. You know, that's the secret to success in any endeavor, not just contesting. Secret to success in any endeavor is simply persistence. So if you fail, if you quit after you fail, then you're guaranteed to be a loser. If you get up and try again, you might win.
Yeah, that's my main issue with using the remotes is it just doesn't seem very practical to use a shared resource for contesting. But for DXing to get on, exchange reports, you know, wait till the pile up is thin and make one call and exchange reports with a DX station, it's fine. But I understand why people say that's not ham radio, but right now the rules still allow it for whatever it's worth. And a lot of people don't like FT8 either, but there are guys on FT8, like you say, you know, the 11 o'clock at night on 10 meters, you'll find that the band is open, nobody's on any place else, but there's somebody calling CQ on FT8. In the equatorial region. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we won't get started on FT8, but as far as DXCC and remote ham radio, between you, me, and the lamppost, Frank, it's all about activity. Our bands would be crowded even if there was no such thing as ham radio. Commercial interests want those frequencies, and we have to use them in order to justify the allocation. So anything that promotes activity is good, whether it's contests or the expeditions or parks on the air or whatever. Get on the air, that's all. Just get on the air and that's good. I have to say hello to you, Frank. I heard you in there. How are you? Long time no speak. W2HF.
I'm having a conversation with somebody. I'm sorry. My wife was talking to me. I agree. That bothers me a little that the stations are sort of undisclosed locations. Some of them seem to be in some pretty good locations, though.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I get on the air and I work for it. Doesn't matter where the... Who was the other station that called in?
W2HL. I heard Frank and I had to say hello to Frank.
If Mitch popped in here, I swear we were on 21430 back in the old days. How are you, Howie?
Yeah. A blast from the past. How are you, Frank? I'm listening to you guys talk. I gotta say hello to you. How are you, boys? Yeah, 4:30. How's Mitch and the old guys? I haven't spoken to Mitch in a while. Well, maybe I'll see him at Dayton if he's gonna be there. But hello to the other station. I had a quadruple bypass last year, Frank. So how are you and how's everybody, over?
Quadruple Bay bypass. Well, it sounds like all four of them work because you're still here, and that's pretty cool. I'm doing fine. And you can find Mitch, I think, every Monday night around 9 p.m. on, I think, the New England 3 repeater on Echolink. He's there with Figgy and who else? K5FO. Trying to remember what his call was. Oh, Jay. WB2FKF in the old days. Those guys are on, you said New England 3 Reflector, I think it is, every Monday night. I haven't gotten on there in a while. Go ahead, Howard.
Yeah, Roger. I spoke with Jay a while ago. I don't know who you're speaking with, but yeah, Frank and I go way back. Remember the RSGB, our Brooklyn Radio Club? Yeah, oh boy, wow. Those were good old days, good old times. I'm not pretty active. You were talking about YB, Indonesia. I worked Indonesia last week or the week before on 15 meters, YB0MVD. And I have a tower in my backyard that I bought, and I want to put the thing up, but I've been apprehensive to doing it because, you know, I like to get a permit to do it, you know, the neighbors. But I'm using a G5RV. I'm right by the water, and I get out really well with it, of course, with an amplifier. And I've been collecting Collins equipment. But anyway, I have to go. So I'm going to stop in on the Northeast Connect one of these days. And you have a good evening. And we'll speak with you, hopefully. The other station, my name is Howell in Rockaway Beach. Back to you there. I think it's N2KW, I believe. W2HS.
Okay, well, very good, Howie. And it was lucky that you got a hold of me. Because if you're in New York City, you don't need a permit for anything up to 75 feet. I can get that to you in writing. Simply take my word for it. You don't need a permit at all. It's going to come. Oh, yeah, 21-430, 21-428. That's the Russian Navy in Sevastopol. my name is Alan, and I'm originally from Brooklyn, and I know Frank a long time as well, but I'm in Bayside now. 7-3, Howard. Alan, N2KW. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, Alan, if you can get that to me on my email, W2HL@Yahoo, I'd certainly appreciate it.
I'm trying to remember his call, the guy who has it in writing. Fred Hopgarten, is that W1VR? Fred Hopgarten is an attorney. He does antenna work. If you just send him an SASC and ask him to send it to you, he'll send it to you in print. And, you know, that's a New York City, five boroughs, up to 75 feet. You don't need a permit. And you can get that in writing from Fred Hopgarten. I think it's K1VR.
Yeah, because I once spoke with him, told him where I lived, and he wanted to help me get a permit or fight. And he had quite a bit of money to do that. But I know, yeah, he did help this guy get a permit, put a tower on top of his apartment building. I think it's called W2JG. Wanted for him, and it was in New York City. The news bulletin, the RL, said New York City ham permit for the tower. That was on the AWL site. Had all the minutes and had to go through the apartment building. And he was listed as the attorney for him. So maybe that just came out, which you mentioned. That would be great. Yeah, that's I wonder if that's, you know, if that's
reasonable. Yeah, Echo with Drust. I think it could be an exception. He could be too close to JFK.
But I guess this fellow who was the permit, he had to have a permit to put up the tower on top of his apartment.
Yeah, I know Paul very well. I'm the one who sent him to Fred. So, anyway, That was on the apartment building that wasn't in his backyard. I'm telling you, you're allowed to put up the 75-foot tower and you don't need a permit. And his antenna is more than 75 feet above street level, but that was installed on a platform on his roof, and the problem was that the neighbors all freaked out. They all complained because it was blocking their view. And they almost got him to take it down. And Fred, you know, helped him and got him the permit from the Department of Buildings. But that was not a freestanding structure. That was an addition to a building over.
Alan, I have not put my tower up thinking that since I bought it 5 years ago, it was 6 years now. Long horizontal. It's an LM470 motorized crank up to 20. It's an extra 22 feet. Goes up. I want to put the thing there. So you have given me new hope.
Yeah. Now you got the weather. So Victor Kilo Charlie 1 X-ray, and have it put in, and don't look back. And you know. Send a letter and an SASE to K1VR. Tell them you spoke to me. Tell them I said that there's no permit required in New York City for a tower under 75 feet. Is that true? And if so, can you please send you the decision? And that won't cost you a dime, over.
Yeah, I'll give him a call. What's his call, a K1VR?
Yeah, I think virtual reality. It's Fred. Hopgarten.
Yeah, I know. He writes a book for the ARRL on towers and stuff.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Oh, boy. That's true. I'm going to go right away. And KC1XX. I bought my tower from Woody. K2UU. You know Woody?
Yeah, I know Woody very well, and Woody is very competent. The only problem is you can never get him to show up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I haven't spoken in a while. My wife was ill, and I think I heard that his main job is now caregiver. Anyway, thanks for that information. I have to go in. I appreciate it very much, Alan. Have a good night. But maybe we will speak. Frank, have a good evening. Great to hear you. And give my regards to the crew. 73, W2HO.
Okay, and I'm sure if the guy's affiliated with the ARRL, probably email him. And I can send you a PDF. So the decision is probably online anyway, if you know how to search for it. Guys, I think the repeater's going to show off, and I have to get ready to sack out anyway. 73WB2BXO.
Okay, good night, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure. And speak to you both again soon, I hope. And 2KW out.
Good, good.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. That's tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
NY2H, WB2ZSE.
CDL train mobile test 1-2. Test 1-2-3-4. WAT CDL train mobile test 1-2-3.
Sounded like Andy. Just turn on the radio. WB2EAB.
Yeah, I'm at the Jamaica station. Ready to go out. Just wanted to see how the repeater sounds. Listening to myself. It's all right. I thought it was weaker than it's turning out to be, but it's okay. I'll be pulling into the tunnel pretty quick, so I'm not gonna stay on long. How you doing it?
All right, you do whatever you feel is right, and when you suddenly disappear, I understand. No, I'm doing fine. I think I told you I'm back at least for a little while, back to work 3 days a week where I was. We'll see how long that lasts. And I had an interesting weekend. Saturday, I did 8 miles in rough terrain with a full pack, and I wonder why my hips and thighs were kind of sore yesterday.
Well, there's an easy explanation. You're not used to moving those muscles as often as you could. Did they call that Charlie horse? Wasn't that a name for it? But yeah, I can understand that. All right, we're just about to pull out. The doors are making noise, which tells me we're going to be moving very shortly. So have a good time, and it should be a short day today. I got to go to Brooklyn, do a quick jog, and then I'll be back. By the way, I'm thinking of doing a little Andy's Corner on a subject that people talk about but don't really understand of how transformers work. you know, what does it mean to transform? And magnetic transformers I'm talking about. In other words, power transformers or even toroidal transformers. So maybe we could talk about that. That's an interesting subject of what they do and how they work and how you can actually make one. What do you think? All right, back to you. WHCDF.
Oh, I think that's a superlative idea. Absolutely excellent. And I am ready, willing, and able to give you any support you need.
Okay, good, good. Because last night on the TechNet, I was listening a bit. I was talking about balance and unbalanced to unbalanced, balanced to unbalanced, you know, in the field of RF transformers, and low-frequency transformers, other transformers, and they're all over the place. So, I'm going to do some research and gather some information on to make it clear so people could understand what they do and how to even wind one, like I said. All right, we're moving. I got to go. You're going to lose me, WHCDL. Thanks to you. Offer to help, and I will consult you. We'll do it together. See you later. WHCDF.
Sounds great. Keep in touch. And let me throw out one last comment. If you're all in the tunnel, so be it. For the life of me, I cannot understand this obsession with balance and unknowns. Every single week seems to spend half an hour beating that same dead horse, when it's really relatively arcane, except for one or two very common designs that after listening to it for a week, you just realize it's like watching I Love Lucy repeats. All right. Have a safe trip. WB2EAD still listening.
Yeah, I'm not in the tunnel yet, but I'm rapidly approaching it. Yes, I agree. There's always talk about that. So maybe we'll clear it up and, you know, Jerry Sivek, W2FMI, wrote a book on balance and unbalanced mind, transformers, and this and that. Anyway, I got to run. Right. You're going to lose me. Goodbye. WCDL. Talk to you later.
Yes, I was going to refer to that book, but you beat me to the punch. WB2EAD listening. As Andy goes into the nether world of the deep underground.
WB2EAD, WB2IKT.
Hey, George. Sound great. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. Yeah, thanks for the report. I did as you suggested. I don't know if you've seen your email this morning, but I sent you an actual copy of that gentleman's license that we were talking about, that you had sent the email for. I did find it, and he made it on the 18th. He beat it by a day.
Well, I had three candidates, one upgrade, two no. And two of them emailed me when I sent out the warning. They said, no, I got mine. It was fine. The third one, nothing. I think it was literally, and it's from the movie Cool Hand Luke, what we have here is a failure to communicate. And I realized with 20/20 hindsight, I should have punched his FRN into the FCC database. And I did that, and I got to the information immediately, but I could not figure out how to get to the actual license. So tell you what, not now. On Tuesday, be prepared to explain to me what buttons you click, okay?
No problem, but I'll keep it real simple. I looked up his call sign on the FCC database. It was that simple.
Yeah, I did that too, and I couldn't find a way to get to the license no matter what I tried. Although I must admit, you know, after about 5 minutes, I gave up. But I did respond to him that he's good to go, but he absolutely should try to get a copy, and I'll see if I can. So, you know, I have access to my own email at work. So as soon as I get there, I'll check it, and I'll forward it to him. You do know I'm working part-time again, at least temporarily.
Yeah, I heard you I was reading the mail when you were talking to Andy, and you did mention that. Is this the, is this one of those bridge construction jobs, or is this something else?
If it was one of those bridge construction jobs, I would have been there for hours already. Now, I'm sure I told you I was working out in Deer Park, helping these people build some special purpose test equipment for monitoring home and office wiring.
I didn't know that you were doing that, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, I said from day one, I knew we could do what the boss visualized. But I was worried about from day one, this is selling a moderately expensive service. And were people willing to spend the money, simple. Were people willing to spend that kind of money? And as I feared, the answer was only when they absolutely positively had to. And there wasn't enough activity to warrant the designing of Revision 2, so we amicably parted ways. Well, they decided to build a second clone of my prototype. But there was one thing I made for them that they couldn't buy, so they brought me in ostensibly to build up another one, but I actually have been able to make it a Rev 2 part. And we're putting it together, and I'm very confident it will work fine. But meanwhile, other stuff keeps popping up, so we'll see how long we can drag this out, because I'm having fun.
Oh, sounds interesting. I guess on Tuesday you could fill me in on some more details as to make or buy decisions and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And to tell you the truth, it isn't that complicated, and I could do that now because they do have some patent protection now, so I don't have to worry about being totally mum about it. So in any event, yeah, the last thing I did before we went our separate ways was start a patent process, and you have exactly one guest who is working on it from the patent side. You know him. I was wondering what happened because we had an amicable parting of the ways before the patent was finalized, and if income and usage was an issue. I was wondering what they would do, but they did finish the patent. I'm babbling.
Okay, sounds interesting. Maybe you could kind of on a very, sort of like lead me into it so I can get a feel for it. What is the equipment that you're working with? What is it, I guess, I'll use the word, supposed to do? If one would buy it, why would one buy it, I guess? And, what is it? In simple terms, I don't need specs or details, but just, simple, what does the stuff do?
Yeah, that's very, very simple. It's basically an advertising brochure, consider your house. In your garage is a breaker panel. If you want to sell a house and you bring an engineer for inspection, he opens it up, takes a look, and unless he sees something grievously wrong, he says it's okay. This, you test each breaker one at a time to verify the voltage drop through the breaker on the load and the actual trip current. And you look for all the breakers. Then you take a separate piece of test equipment and go around the house, plug it into every outlet, and measure the voltage drop from the primary input from the street to the outlet on the load.
All right, I think I get it. Looking for loose connections or things that might possibly cause a fire. I would suspect that that's what it is. And is it somehow or other detecting arcing, or is it, I don't know, I mean, a loose connection is